Okay.
I feel better. You gonna make it, or do we need to go to the stock? Because I have a couple. Keeps killing pain. Maybe three or four. There you go.
And then he'll start.
Yeah.
All right, we're back in session here, and it is time for a public hearing, Cowboy Country Distillery.
Mr. Chairman, if you'll recall at our last meeting, I had discussed with you that I had gotten an application for a distillery satellite permit. We have Cowboy Country Distilling, which is located down by the airport, that has got their federal permit to be a distiller. They have to go through a process where they receive a permit from the feds as well as from the state to be a distiller. And then the application that they've made to us is to allow them to sell their product on site on a limited basis. So let me, and when I brought this application to you also, we are not required to publish this. However, you wanted to publish it, so we made public notice, and we're having the hearing today. And their application is in order. It's been reviewed by the Liquor Division. So what we're going to do, or what we're allowed to do, we being the county, the local licensing authority may issue the holder a manufacturer's license granted under subsection A that allows the permittee to sell product manufactured at the site identified on the manufacturer's license at not more than one satellite location within Wyoming, separate from its manufacturing site under the original permit. All products sold at the manufacturer's satellite location shall be obtained through the division. So he sends his product to Cheyenne, then has to buy it back from them to be able to sell it here. You don't just go dip out of the vat kind of deal. So satellite manufacturer's permit may be issued on application to the appropriate licensing authority, that's you. The local licensing authority may require a public hearing and the payment of an additional permit fee not to exceed $100. So your decision today is to hold the hearing. We've advertised, and we will need to set the fee, which, as I said, is a maximum of $100.
Capped at
$100. In this particular case, also, our license period is July 1 through June 30, so we would prorate the license, so it would be less than that $100 since we're starting to operate on the 8th of August or 9th of August.
Okay.
So that's kind of that. But that's what that would allow is would allow them to, you could sample.
Okay.
You could sample.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And this is a public hearing. Any comment from the public?
My concern is any over-serving.
You
that
bet.
Would be my concern.
Like any other place, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And responsible servers, tips trained, things like that. That
right.
Just because they're out of town,
mm-hmm.
and then getting on the road is a definite concern.
Yep. Very good. Any other comments from the public? Any discussion from the commission?
This product is manufactured here?
Yeah, right out by the airport.
Okay.
Commissioner Bowser.
I guess kind of based a little bit on what Renee was saying, just to get a better understanding, does this mean people would stop in there and buy it one drink at a time, or would they buy it like a bottled, like a liquor store where you buy a bottle at a...
How I understand it, it is a sampling. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
So if they were to buy case lots of it, they would have to go to the liquor store.
So it'll be similar to Wyoming whiskey,
where they have the
they
tasting
have a sampling thing there.
Right.
But it is, they're pretty careful about how they do that by
right.
statute, I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay. When you're reading to us, it said limited quantities.
Right.
Does
yeah.
that cover all these concerns? I don't know what that quantity is. It could be, do they say by the gallon or by the pint?
It's like having a tasting garden at a beer place, same kind of thing, or
pretty
beer garden at a brewery.
So I assume it is up to the manufacturer's discretion as to what the taste is and how much that person gets. I don't know. But that is policed by the liquor division.
By the liquor division and by the feds as well.
Right. So that's not policed by the county.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
As a satellite, is it, I'm just a bit confused. It's manufactured somewhere else and then brought here as a satellite?
No, they're manufacturing here.
So it.
And then they have to give all of their product. They have to deliver all their product to Cheyenne.
Because it goes there and then comes back.
And has to come back.
Yeah.
I think it gets the federal stamp.
And it goes from there to liquor stores too.
Right.
But it would have to come back to their place for the tastings.
Right.
Any further discussion? I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to accept the application for the distilling satellite permit.
And set the fee.
And set the fee at $75?
$100.
$100.
Yeah. I would ask that you amend your motion to say
$100. I amend to $100.
Thank you.
I second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the satellite manufacturer's permit as presented and set the fee at $100 per year. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right, Ken, your turn. We're hoping to get us back on track.
Back on schedule.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned, I have Tiffany and Jessica are with me today too, but this shouldn't kind of prepared you for this last time. This is our set our COBRA rates now that we finalized all the other things and breakdown on the rural health care portion, which might have a little discussion since we have some new commissioners. We'll start at the top and take the easy stuff first. Our current COBRA rates are listed there. That's the first box at the top. I guess with our, we had about a 7 to 9%, depending on where you're looking at the claims factors or the fixed costs. We don't have hardly anybody using COBRA. It's a very underutilized thing nowadays because of the other plans that are available, and most people don't use it, but we
COBRA, do you guys understand what he's talking about?
That's the extension that they can use when they leave but you also then the next thing we're going to talk about is you have a retiree coverage, which is a separate thing. But
and can the COBRA's up to 18 months?
Yes, for a typical employee, and then in some instances it's 36 months for a spouse or for some children if they need to keep it. But again, unless you're 55 and older, these rates would be higher than what they would be. Although if you all heard the news last Thursday or Friday, so it doesn't sound good for the state of Wyoming individual market starting next January 1st, but I guess the fight continues, you know. We'll see what happens. Blue Cross is going to raise rates 48%.
48%. In Wyoming? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow. We'd have been the headline in the Wall Street Journal if they'd announced it 2 days earlier, because they were screaming about up to 30% increases around the nation, and we managed to hit 48.
48.
So. But it's really confusing yet to understand how that's on the ACA, because they don't, whether that's going to hit all individual plans if you're just buying direct, like what we're just selling it to you, and you're not going to get a subsidy. We don't really, they haven't explained that to us yet.
We don't know how it's going to affect our rates.
It's not, and it won't affect your group rates. If anything, it's going to make small group insurance even more attractive than it was, because that's the only place you can go get something that's a little competitive, because you've got a few people in the market there. So I don't know. That's a problem on the other side. But so if you want to increase these rates, what we did a couple years ago, we actually your COBRA rates have to have some relationship to your on a self-funded plan. We have to tie them into your actual experience, and of course we know what our worst case scenario is. A couple of years ago, we paid, I think the charge is like $250 to have an actuary look at your last couple of years of experience and come up with a rate that that's where these came from. My recommendation is we just maintain these for one more year, since we've had relatively minor adjustments in our fixed and. But if you want to raise them a little bit, to be safe, we probably should have them calculated so that if you want to maximize them, we should. And he may come back and say, "Well, but our last 2 years have been a little above normal, so." I don't expect them to go down, but there is always a possibility that when he calculates it, he might say we have to reduce them by 2 or 3%, but I doubt it.
That'd probably be a good idea, though, wouldn't it?
I think every 2 to 3 years, it's good to have that done for that kind of a price. It's fairly inexpensive. And we could just say we could approve it. We will adopt the actuarial recommended rate, so you don't have to, or we can bring it back to you in when we get it back for a final.
Well, I think we can do that.
And then on the retiree rate, that one, just for those of you that are new, the county has a retiree program. You have to meet certain requirements. It's there to reward long-term employees and to help them make that transition out at 60 or 60, they can only stay on it for 5 years or to age 65, and they have to have been here for 15 years at the minimum, and then they're the rule of 75. Their years of service and age have to at least equal 75. So we don't have many on it. When we did this about 8 or 10 years ago, we had 3 or 4 on it for a while. Now we average maybe one. I think we have one maybe rolling onto this shortly, because we have an older individual that wants to retire, but the spouse still needs some coverage. So this covers either the employee and or spouse until they get to either 65 or 5 years. So it's available to them. The rates are obviously priced. They're not COBRA rates, because the idea is to encourage them to go ahead and retire, so we can bring in somebody who's maybe, I don't want to say more highly motivated or whatever, but it gives them the ability to retire after 25, 30 years or whatever, but they're not on Medicare yet. So we've kicked these up a little bit in the last year, the couple of you can remember, and it certainly would not hurt to add another, $50 or something to them. I wouldn't. Again, the whole point of this program is not to raise them clear up to where we throw people off. But if you're 60 years old right now and trying to buy an individual product, which we just heard about, you're talking about this year, before the rate change, it was $900 for a 60-year-old to buy a $6,000 deductible from Blue Cross, because that's the only option we have. So this is a very important program to an employee of yours that is, again, long-term employee. They can't do this unless they've been here for a while. So, and it also helps the Rural Healthcare District employees as well, because they're functioning under the same thing. So, okay. Thoughts on that? I just leave it blank and decide what you want to do. The last part, we'll get these all out here, and then you can decide how you want to attack it. But for those of you that haven't always been here, several years back, we looked at we were talking about rolling the Rural Health Care District off on their own. But the county, we kind of looked at that and it said, well, it makes more sense for us to, I mentioned this last month, to stay as a larger group, keep our fixed costs down and so forth. But And the Rural Healthcare District started paying their own claims about 10 years ago. But they're not big enough and can't handle the fluctuation in cash flow to, for example, if they had all the shock claims. And in theory, if they had every claim, that 20% of the population had all the claims in 1 year, they could spend $3 million some dollars. Well, they couldn't do that. And as a group of 51 individuals, they would be buying a policy instead of, if you recall, we use a 90 stop loss, 90,000 on this big of a group. A group the size of the Rural Healthcare District would have to drop that down to 40, 35 or 40, and it would cost, the fixed costs would go up substantially. So anyway, we've always agreed that it kind of gives us both a plus to stay together, but in order to do that, you guys as county have kind of internally put some caps on their exposure to keep, and we've done it for about 7 years now, and in only 1 year have we ever exceeded the cap. You'll see here down below what we've done in the past, and they've actually shrunk a little bit with some of the less EMS personnel and with the, so what I do is I calculate their, I get the numbers from the administrator, and we calculate their percentage of the covered individuals and the percentage of total individuals, and it's always interesting, it comes out very close to the same thing, whether it's contracts or bodies. Right now they're running around 21% of your total group. So that's where we come up with these numbers. I multiply that times that big number, and then there's a range. If we say, well, here's our expected claims on a group on 1/20 or 1/5 of our deal, it ranges from 605,000 up to 756,000. And I kind of go somewhere in the middle, but we can certainly adjust this slightly one way or the other. But this year we went back up a little bit. My recommendation, we always use 60,000 as any one claim for them. And we don't really tally this until the end of the contract year. Mary and I look at if it's close, then we go look. But we've only 1 year to even have to calculate it. And right now, we're running way below the 660,000, which is what it was set for this year. We would up it to 696, or you can round. I mean, that's just 58. We could go to 60,000, and 60,000 times 12 is 720. I mean, we can move this a little bit one way or the other. Again, it's a matter of letting the Rural Healthcare District know so they can get it built into their budget. And if you want to continue to do this, I mean, if we're not going to do it that way, then you know, they would probably have to take some serious looks at what else they would do.
Right.
So,
okay.
Questions on how that, what we're really doing is a kind of a mini version of what you guys do on a big scale. And
So what are your recommendations then for this year, Ken?
Well, that's what I put over there.
696.
Yeah, the 58 per month. That's kind of a running cap. Again, we've never really worried about that too much. If we go over a little bit, it usually comes back the following month. But
right.
If we did have one big shock claim or something over there and it went over 60, well, then we would still not worry about that too much until we get over the 696,000, right. Because right. That's still the way okay. That thing works. But
and when was the last time we had that outfit do the calculations for us? Was that 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
On the COBRA rates?
Yeah.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Was it?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Two? So,
okay. All right.
And I don't think you'd have to do it this year if you okay. don't want to. If you're comfortable leaving them. If we want to go up, then I would say we've got to be careful. We don't want to overcharge them.
Yeah. I think perhaps maybe this year we can just leave it as our current.
And then what we could do, we'll just plan on
next year.
Next year, yeah. We'll put it on the thing to do.
Let's do that. Okay.
And what about the
go ahead.
Retiree? Are you interested in upping those a
you
little
know,
bit?
I don't think at this time I am. I don't know about you, gentlemen.
I'm being inclined to leave it like that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to leave it where we're at. Commissioner Bilesman, what do you think?
I'm good either way. If we wanted to, if his recommendation was, say, to go from $325 to $475 increase.
Sounds like there's going to be a pretty good hit coming the first of the year. Why don't we stay with where we're at for this year, and let's see how things pan out for next year.
Well, as I said, that one is kind of a special deal. You're not really trying to get a market rate there. That's designed to be a reward. So it's not just to try to get money back from them. And we have been fortunate in our retirees. Only maybe once have we had any significant claims from a retiree. It works just the way we hoped it did. It allows them to make the transition and they move on, or else.
So if we go as presented, then I will need a motion to renew.
Mr. Chairman, I move we renew at the existing rate.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we renew the insurance coverage with Tegeler and Associates as presented at the existing rates. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you all.
We're back in business for another year.
Ken, one thing, when you make the gestures towards a 60-year-old, you point to me, not Dr. Burnett.
I'm
just letting you know.
That's why I bring these young ladies. Should kind of tamper it down a little bit.
Wow. I'm getting it hard today.
Yeah.
Getting picked on.
Okay.
Okay, Sheriff.
Okay.
Come on up, Sheriff et al. Everybody. Come on up, Shad, Jim. Let's.
You may have, yes.
All right, we'll turn it over to you, gentlemen.
Get started.
Okay.
Last time we met, we discussed the proposal from TUSA Consulting to be the project manager for implementing an improvement to our existing radio system to upgrade them to a very similar system to the Wildlink. Think of it as being a sub-accounting version of Wildlink. It'd be a digital truncated system that'd be simulcasted and microwave linked and have paging capability for firefighters as well as search and rescue members if they want to use it. Based on the discussion last time, the original proposal that TUSA Consulting had given us didn't have a real clear delineation on step one, step two, step three, and you'd ask for more information about what exactly it would cost to develop just an RFP, and then based on the results of that RFP, making the decision if we wanted to continue forward with the project or not. So I went back and spoke at length with Jack Hart, the consultant, and had asked him to give us a clear guidance on what he thought it would take to develop an RFP. The initial email that I'd received, I'd forwarded on to Sheriff Lear and to Mary. He'd said he thought it was going to be about $15,000 in time to develop that RFP. Since then, I'd asked Jack to develop a true proposal that I could present to the Board of Commissioners to review that really laid out the scope of the project. And you can read that at your leisure, but it's essentially on page four. He breaks it down into line by line of what he thought it would take to implement this plan. So the way he described it to me is think about it like line one and line two should be conducted concurrently, and line two is the second proposal that I've given you from Easy Spectrum to do the FCC frequency analysis. So he said, based on the results of line one and line two, if we like the direction that things are going and that we like the anticipated cost, then we move on to line three and actually create the RFP and release it to the vendors. And then if we like the results of the RFPs, then we move on to the implementation once we've awarded it to somebody on phase two. So he kind of took his original quote. These are still essentially the same numbers, but he broke them out line by line, and he said, think about it like, you know, as you know, stop and assess, and if we like it, we continue to the next step.
Okay.
And
we start at $5,000, and then we continue on if we like the direction we're headed.
Line two is six plus, right?
Plus the six, the easy.
Yeah. Right. And then on top of that, estimated expenses, that'd be, you know, for traveling back here to do some site assessments and determine if we want to raise the heights of the towers or whatever. You know, he might need to put his eyes on the actual radio sites to determine if there's improvements that are necessary. And so there's some estimated travel expenses there as well that are in phase one that is really at our discretion if we want to bring him back and do the site assessment or not. He recommends that it be a worthwhile effort to bring him back, and I would support that as well.
Okay. Questions for Shad, gentlemen?
I have a question, and maybe you guys can answer it. In this program, it came out in the newspaper, we discussed it, that it could cost a total of $1.5 million, and that's the whole nine yards, and we're on our own. How many radios or how many vehicles would be involved in that? And that's counting, of course, all the sheriff's vehicles, all the county vehicles, all of your vehicles, am I correct?
And all the mobiles.
And the reason I'm asking, right? Yeah, the reason I'm asking this question is I had a constituent who just put in a system in all of his water trucks, and he couldn't understand why the county was spending so much money when he got it for $200,000. But he said that he only had 60 vehicles. Well, you probably have 60 vehicles on your own. So I'm trying to get information, and I think, am I correct, I need to just sit down with Dave and get some, so I can have a discussion with him to answer his questions, which I'm not sure he'll, you know, but I just want to be able to get back to him.
So the summary answer is that this quote doesn't put radios in.
Oh, I understand that.
Or radios in police vehicles.
This is getting to the RFP. I guess I'm asking the question at the wrong time.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things. Your question was how many radios would this put in fire trucks? This is strictly to put repeaters on top of mountains.
Right, I understand that. Yeah. I understand
it. He doesn't own repeaters.
Right.
That's the issue. Absolutely. That's the big
deal. So I'm trying to get educated, and I'm finding out I need to just sit down with Dave, and this is not the time to ask you guys that question. So I'll retract my question.
One thing I would to just clarify is the fire department just received a grant from the state of Wyoming to become compatible with the statewide system, and we purchased digital trunked radios that are Wildlink compatible. This new system, if we move forward with it, would still be compatible with the Wildlink system, but it would use the existing technology that the Wildlink system already uses. So it wouldn't require us to put new radios in any of the fire trucks.
Right.
The radios we just put in would still work
still
just
work.
Fine.
Yeah.
And that's the same for the sheriff.
Yes. I guess the bottom line is I'm a soul learner, and I'll work on a tutorial. Keep up the good work, boys.
But that is a good question, and when you have constituents ask you those things, you have to come up with
I
want to
come
answer.
Back, and but I want to be able to answer the questions, so I'll get with Dave.
Okay, very good. Any other questions here for Shad?
George, are we thinking of approving this today?
I'm believing that's what you would like. Is that correct?
Are we looking at 24,750 or something?
We're looking at 52,50 plus 6,000 right off the bat.
11,250.
Everything on this page four.
The first two lines here. So 52,50.
Oh, 5,250.
Yeah.
Plus six.
Plus 6,000 for the easy. Yeah. The first two lines, I think, is what you're looking to.
Well, additional, the estimated expenses, that's his travel expenses, and that's at our discretion if we want to bring him out for a site visit to actually look at the towers. So there'd be additional plane travel tickets on top of that as well.
Okay.
You mentioned you felt like that was necessary.
I feel like we'd be ahead for the game. It's difficult to try to describe everything over the phone. I think if he was able to drive out to the site and look at it and look at the footing, look at the emergency power systems, look at the height of the towers, and you know, really, you know, I'm sure from his perspective, if you've seen one tower, you've seen them all. They're all very similar, but there are a lot of variabilities on how the antenna's orientated, and I think it'd be beneficial.
We'd be looking at something 12 to 13,000 then probably total if we approved this today. And then from that point on, if we're pleased with what's going on, then we agree to fund the rest.
Yes. This gives us a ballpark to what we're going to be funding.
Right.
The other thing is on page five, there were several questions about estimated timelines. I'd ask for him to give us, you know, what time frame do you think we could implement this by? And so he'd given us some estimated time frames there as well, if that helps answer some of the previous questions that we discussed.
And you mentioned our winters, I'm sure, with the 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, we've discussed that at length, and he's very much aware that site access would be very limited during the summer months.
And we pretty much knew that this is the direction we were headed. We either had to jump in with WildLink or we had to jump in on our own right away. It's not something we could wait till next year to begin on. Mm-hmm. So.
Chairman, just one question. On the estimated expenses, those don't come into play unless he's going forward with the RFP. Is that correct? Or does he need some trip out here just to do the comprehensive design?
Yes, that's the question. And he said he'd leave that to our recommendation if we wanted to spend the money to buy the plane ticket and bring him out and do a site visit.
I just asked for understanding.
Realistically, I can see two trips. One trip to come look at our system and really understand, you know, where the towers are located, how they're situated, if they need additional towers or combiners or whatever needs to be done on the towers to then move on to the next step, which is to write the RFP or release the RFP based on the specifications. Well, then a second trip later on in the implementation phase would be necessary as a pre-bid meeting with whoever the vendors are to do basically the same thing and show them the towers, and so he could guide them through the whatever the RFP is going to look
like. And we would have already made the agreement to move forward by then.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Or not. I would assume he'd be here correct. To represent us in the installation and all that, right?
So the way
we get quality product.
The way he described that to me is he would do frequent phone conferences with the vendors and have pictures of progress. And I talked to him about working with Dave Smith to do the actual site assessments and as a cost saving measure, having Dave go up and actually manage the construction. But there would be frequent phone conferences necessary to make sure that things are progressing according to the specs of the RFP. So as a cost saving measure, yes, he'd come out once to
assessment.
Yeah, to do an assessment, come out again to do the pre-bid meeting with whoever submits the RFPs, and then come out for a final evaluation to make sure that everything's working and implemented and programmed correctly and that it's actually ready to turn on.
Okay. All right. Sheriff Lear, comments?
Shad's covered it really well. Shad's done all the legwork on this.
You're on board.
Yep. Kept me apprised, and then.
And you believe this is the direction in which we need to go at this point?
Yes.
Okay. So, further discussion, gentlemen.
So, do we want to approve?
We would.
The 11250 or the 16250.
We would approve the 11250 with the travel and the additional expenses that he may incur coming out.
So moved. Nicely put.
Second.
All right. It has been moved and seconded that we enter into a contract with TUSA and EZ in the amount of $11,250 plus anticipated travel costs and expenses. Further discussion then. Gentlemen.
Who seconded the motion?
What's that?
Who seconded the motion?
I did.
Yeah. So basically this puts the wheels in motion. If we like the direction it's going, we continue. If we don't like the direction it's going, we cease. Commissioner Noble, you have a comment?
I read the answer.
Okay.
30 days on easy spectrum is my question.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's move forward and see where it takes us.
Very good. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thanks for the work.
Chad, while I have you here, then it's kind of looking like maybe next, perhaps next week, if the weather continues as it is, by the 15th, we'll have a, stage one fire ban in place.
Yes, the Forest Service anticipates doing the different stages. In previous history with Sublet County, we haven't broken it up into stages. We just do fire restrictions or not.
So restrictions, does that include in a contained ring? Can you still have a fire, or is that just no fire period?
That's the difference between the restrictions from the Forest Service. You're exactly right. So in our restrictions for Sublet County, the way we've previously written them is that no agricultural burns, no slash pile burns, no welding without an approved extinguisher there nearby. So just trying to minimize the potential fire exposure. On Sublet County private property, we don't have fire rings, so it wouldn't make sense to do that kind of a restriction.
Okay.
I've been doing weekly phone conferences with BLM Forest Service and State Forestry, and it looks likely that the federal and state agencies will go into fire restrictions next week, and I think it would benefit Sublet County to prepare for that possibility.
Yes. Go right ahead. I think you're going to answer the question I have.
I have the resolution right here.
Could we
ready to go?
Could we adopt that contingent upon what happens on the 15th, and then not have to have another meeting?
Yeah, you could do that. The recommendation I would have for you is to be ready to go with a conference call on the morning of the 16th. They're going to decide on the 15th.
Okay.
We have a quick phone call. You guys have a quick meeting.
But you'll have to give notice.
Yeah, I give notice on the 15th because I have to have 8 hours to give notice.
Okay.
Give notice on the 15th. You do your call at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Or the 16th.
Or the 16th.
Yeah.
What time?
You would do that? 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Sorry. So you would recommend we do that rather than adopt it contingent upon implementation on the 15th?
I think so.
Okay. Everybody good with the conference?
Mr. Chairman, that would give Chad another opportunity to update us on the conference call about what the discussion was that made the decision, so that's probably the best way to go.
Okay.
It was my suggestion that maybe we should pre-authorize, or I had that thought at least. But this is a better way.
Okay. All right.
The reason why I recommend that is because it's easier to get ready to go than it is to get ready to go and then have to pull back because they don't go.
True. Okay. I got you. I understand.
It's all
in
about
case
me.
It doesn't
it's all about
happen.
Me. It's all about me.
it's
easier
about
for me
today.
To get.
Okay. Good deal.
So it's easier to be ready to go and then not.
All right.
Than it would be for us to set it all up. And
you'll
then
send us out an email
cancel.
With the conference call information.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, that sounds good.
I'll have you just call in.
Let's proceed in that manner then.
Okay.
So I need to get my weeds burned this weekend then. Okay. So tell me this. Maybe you can explain this to me. How come I can go out to burn my weeds and I can't get the blasted things to burn and stay caught? But I can go out and weld and one little spark and everything.
I can't answer that question, but it seems to be the case every time.
I know.
when we're doing fire responses.
I know. I was out welding the other day, and it got a little warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about homeowners and trash burning? Is that covered under this?
It is.
Let me read you what it is, because it's we call it a partial closure, and okay, it says. The following activities are prohibited under the partial closure. Discharge of fireworks and all outdoor fires are prohibited in unimproved areas except as followed. trash or refuge fires between the hours of 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. So you can burn, but you got to burn during the day. Inside containers.
During the night.
During the night.
6 p.m., 8 a.m.
You can burn.
Okay. Trash or refuge is, this is what's restricted. You can't burn at night. You can burn during the day. Okay? From 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can burn. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you read this, if you read it, it's backwards. That's the reason why the question came. You can't burn at night, is what that's telling you.
Further, the following activities are prohibited under the partial closure.
Well, okay.
You can't burn at night.
I would prefer the other way around. I don't want to burn during the day. During the night, the humidity levels minimize the potential for an escape fire. So
that's what I would think. But
they probably did it so you'd have less phone calls.
Maybe they're just saying, you don't get woke up.
Let me read the rest
okay,
of it.
Okay, anyway.
Trash or refuge fires between the hours of 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. inside containers provided with spark arrestors located within a cleared area 10 feet in radius are permitted. Okay? Is that like a double, triple negative thing, right? Campfires contained within an established fire ring in cleared areas 10 feet in radius are permitted. Charcoal fires within enclosed grills are permitted. Use of acetylene cutting torches or electric arc welders in cleared areas 10 feet in radius are permitted. Operators must also carry a fire extinguisher and a shovel. Propane or open fire branding activities in cleared areas 10 feet in radius are permitted. Operators must also carry a fire extinguisher and a shovel. So this tells you what you can do. Everything else you can't do.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good enough. All right. Thanks for clearing that up, Mary.
Yeah. Clears mud, huh?
All right. Any questions on that real quick before we move on? All right. Sheriff, do you want to take over now?
I just have one thing. Chairman, if Bridger Teton National Forest offered more money, that's quite a shock. We applied and we were granted additional money for our contract with the Forest Service because of the eclipse this year.
Okay.
So this is a
Hank's contract?
Yeah, this is a modification to add 3,000 to the existing 11,000, so we have a total of 14,000
great
this year. So signing. Do you need a blue pen?
Okay. Yeah. So this is just, is this an addendum to the contract? Is this a
it's just a
change
all
of
they
contract?
All they said is just a modification to incorporate the additional $3,000 for fiscal year 2017 okay because of the eclipse.
I'll need to accept this by motion.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the modified contract with the Forest Service as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Is this just to cover overtime, they're thinking? Or?
Yes, extra man hours. So, this, I mean, if one of our deputies wanted to go up and patrol the forest on their own time, that would be pay would come out of that grant.
So. Sign it in one place or two?
Just one.
Just the one?
Two copies, yes.
So, is this the seasonal?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is Hank doing that again?
He is.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I hadn't heard from him. I didn't know him.
Yeah, no, he's been busy. So, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. All right.
That's all I have.
Thank you. In 5 minutes, Jim, can you give us the lowdown on?
We're 2 weeks out from the eclipse. All
right.
All emergency service groups have been working, and at kind of Chad's idea, we've all gone to, instead of pulling out and making just an eclipse plan, we're setting up everybody as another busy week. We've got the plan is near completed. I think we're really close. Maybe some pencil and changes.
So you're going to allow the eclipse to happen then? Is that you've
with
got
resolution?
It all?
Okay. If you guys would so move.
Yeah, we can adopt that,
Mr. Chairman, sir.
All right.
The way the smoke's been lately, I don't know. It's touch and go. They've talked about moisture 14 days out, but nobody's guaranteed that yet. So,
okay.
I don't know what's coming. I know that the lodging's full. I know that there's an increased amount of reservations at the airport. I know that traffic is, you know, at 5 o'clock now, there's no left turns on Pine Street, so yeah. It's tough to get out. We've seen some supply depletion in at release, just from the normal traffic. So I can only think it's going to get worse. I think the biggest thing to think about is just be courteous and get to where you're going and be there before.
Leave extra time to get to where you're going.
Everybody's ready. We've got comm plan. I'll go meet with the forest on while you guys are doing fire stuff. I'll be in Brian Platt's talking communications with them, make sure that we're ready to go. We'll have a joint information center set up across from the Hampton. We've got a land use agreement with those guys, went through and set up the command truck and have satellite internet and a tent and public relations people from the forest and public information officers from local and abroad coming to help with that. I'll be set up out of my office with the command trailer, listening to radios and helping any way I can, and just be ready.
Okay.
We'll try to do a planning meeting every evening, starting the 16th with at 1800 at Weed and Pest, the meeting room, if you want to know what's going on. Unless anything big, I'll get information through the sheriff and then have him give information to you guys.
Okay. I was thinking about that. Is there do they have a telephone set up for teleconference at Weed and Pest? Like if the commissioners wanted to call in just to listen?
I don't know, but I know Kim has one for sure.
Okay.
And I know Steve Kipp has one, so
all
we
right.
can still
Or if somebody meet. Can't make it,
right.
they could still call in and get the information.
Yep.
Okay.
What time are those? 6 o'clock?
Yeah, yes, 6 p.m.
Okay.
And if you have I'm available 24/7. If you guys have a question, please call.
Well, I'm sorry?
That's if you have a landline?
If it's, or a cell phone that works.
So, noon on Tuesday, it's going to be a tremendous letdown. It's all going to be over, and we're all going
to
be done.
Back to daylight.
Yeah. It starts about 11:35, 11:36 for the total obscuring of the disk of the sun. So things will start around 10, 16, 17, right in there. We're right on the line with Du Bois, and I'm planning for 2-minute and 20-second event that we didn't ask for, so it's just we're just
right.
See what happens.
Yeah, all this hype for 2 minutes.
Yes, sir.
It's still beyond me, but anyway.
Some states are not doing anything. The Wyoming State Offices of Homeland Security and have met with all the partners, and they're deploying resources. Teton County, Natrona County. Converse in Glendo, and for the maximum impact areas, and then other states have declared a disaster and calling out the National Guard. So we're right in the middle in there. What's going to happen? I would treat this like a snow event and be prepared. Gas tanks full, medications full, bread, milk, eggs, toilet paper, all that stuff pre-bought.
This is going to last a lot less than a snow event. Not near as much time.
But I think I listen to a radio article really quick. Mr. Oaks from Teton County spoke about they're still going to get traffic. So if people are in the state and they come to see the eclipse, then they might venture this way to go up through Yellowstone, and that might elongate the period.
Maybe they'll follow the eclipse.
Well,
just get in their cars and just drive. Yeah.
Which
all
is
right. Well, thanks, Jim.
No, that's all I had. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Further?
Appreciate it.
Briefly enough, the Bull Creek Fire in Kimmer, it's about 7 miles away from Sublette County. Right now, it's not threatened in Sublette County. I've been participating in regular conference calls with the leadership team down there. We have one truck and a couple of our overhead from Sublette County Unified Fire that are there helping manage that fire. And right now, there's no threat to Sublette County, though, and I'll keep you appraised if anything changes.
What's the size of that, Sean?
As of Sunday, it was 3,100 acres. I haven't got an update for today yet.
I read the report, and there's a chance that it had something to do with the previously prescribed burn.
I wouldn't be able to comment.
Smart.
Smart man. I'm not that smart.
Okay. Thanks.
Maybe not.
Gentlemen, thanks for coming back. We appreciate it. I'll need a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel pursuant to State Statute 16-4405A2.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we go into executive session.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we go into executive session pursuant to the state statute previously stated to discuss personnel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.